Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for December 20th, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Peter Kramer about regulation of T cells in the immune system. The immune system protects the body from foreign invaders, such as bacteria and parasites, and it can also recognize and kill cancer cells in some contexts. Proper function of the immune system depends upon the ability of immune cells to faithfully differentiate between normal cells of the body and foreign, damaged, or abnormal cells that need to be eliminated. Proper identification of pathogens and damaged cells is important for fighting infections and for killing cancerous and precancerous cells. However, autoimmune disease can result when immune cells attack normal cells, such as in psoriasis and lupus. In a new study published in the current issue of Science Signaling, Kramer's group reports on a mechanism by which one type of immune cell suppresses another. Kramer spoke to me from Heidelberg, Germany. Hello, Dr. Kramer.
Yes. Hello, Annalisa. I'm on the phone from Heidelberg in Germany and the German Cancer Research Center.
Regulatory T cells are part of the immune system, and one of the things that they do is suppress the proliferation of conventional T cells. What are regulatory and conventional T cells, and how do their roles in immunity differ?
Well, first of all, regulatory T cells do not just only suppress proliferation of T cells. They also suppress the secretion of cytokines. These are soluble molecules which T cells make, and they suppress also that. Now, first of all, the immune system, as you know, is a mixture of cells. There are B cells, which make antibodies, and there are T cells, or T lymphocytes, which, again, are a mixed group of cells. There are killer cells, which kill other cells, for example, tumor cells, and there are so-called helper cells. And these helper cells help other cells, like B cells to make antibodies, killer cells to kill. And they are, in a way, even more diverse, but I don't want to go into details here. But they are, in a way, the workhorses of the immune system. And, of course, horses need to be guided, and there are reins to guide horses. And the reins of the T-cell immune system, or the immune system altogether, are regulatory T cells. They regulate whether the T helper cells, for example, are active, whether they proliferate, whether they secrete cytokines. And they are characterized by certain markers, because you need to differentiate between these so-called conventional T cells and, for example, the helper cells, and the regulatory T cells. And these markers have been discovered basically in the 90s. And what are these markers? They're expressed on the surface and inside the cell. And these markers are proteins which stick on the cell membrane or go through the cell membrane. And there are certain genes which are expressed in these cells. So the regulatory T cells are so-called CD4, CD25 plus. These are the surface markers, again, proteins which go through the cell surface. And there is one other important molecule which characterizes regulatory T cells, and that is called FOXP3. It is a gene which is activated primarily in regulatory T cells, but also in humans, at least, in other T cells. So the mixture of CD4 and CD25 on the surface and FOXP3 as a gene inside the cell presently characterizes regulatory T cells. Now, conventional T cells that are the helper cells, which we used in our experiments, they are CD4 plus, but they are CD25 minus and FOXP3 minus.
How do the regulatory T cells suppress proliferation and cytokine production of conventional T cells?
Well, that is complicated and presently very much in the center of discussion. Now, these regulatory T cells may secrete several molecules, for example, TGF-beta or interleukin-10. And these are molecules which affect other cells, they bind to them, and they make them inactive. But there are also smaller molecules. For example, one molecule is called ATP or cyclic AMP, and these are secreted and they also have suppressive effects. But we used a different system because regulatory T cells do not just work by secretion of other molecules, which suppress conventional T cells. They also work by direct contact. So we brought the regulatory T cells together with the conventional T cells and then checked what, with respect to the signaling machinery in these conventional T cells, is different in comparison to cells which have not been suppressed.
One of the signaling pathways that's activated when these two types of T cells come into direct contact is the T cell receptor pathway, or the TCR pathway.
Yes.
And this is the pathway that you focused on in this study. Why did you focus on that particular pathway?
Well, the immune system, as you know, has several possibilities to react. One is within the innate immunity, and the second part is sort of the adaptive immunity. Within the adaptive immune system, the specific recognition structures on cells are very important. Imagine a B lymphocyte. The B lymphocyte makes antibodies. It secretes the antibodies, but it also has the antibody on the cell surface. And with that antibody, it reacts with a specific antigen. The T cell also has a specific recognition structure on the cell surface, and that specific recognition structure is called T cell receptor. With this T cell receptor, it recognizes specific antigens in form of peptides, which are presented to the T cell within the context of major histocompatibility complex antigens. So the T cell recognition of an antigen is much more complex. But after the recognition has taken place, a signaling machinery is engaged, which tells the T cells what to do, and that is proliferate or secrete cytokines. And this signaling machinery is like, a chain of events, like people who build a house and the bricks are on a particular pile and the house is 200 meters away and they have to pass the bricks to the house. So here, one signaling event is taking place and the next one follows and the third one follows and the fourth one. And at the end, these signals arrive at T cell specific genes. And again, these are genes which drive proliferation, and these are genes which drive the secretion of cytokines. And within this machinery, we checked what is blocked after conventional T cells, which are activated and activate their signaling machinery, where these conventional T cells are blocked and where the signaling machinery is blocked.
So you compared TCR signaling in suppressed versus non-suppressed conventional T cells.
Exactly.
And what did you find? How did suppression by the regulatory T cells affect TCR signaling in the conventional T cells?
As I said, this signaling is complex, and there are many events, and there are chain events. And there are events which happen directly after the T cell receptor complex has been tickled by antigen presented via histocompatibility antigens. These are called T cell receptor proximal events. We tested those and they're not affected. But further downstream signaling events, which tell the cell what to do, are affected. And the first part we could identify, which is very important in this chain, is a flow of ions. And these ions are called calcium ions. And these calcium ions, they flow into the cell in a complex event involving channels. These channels are called crack channels. So when a T cell is triggered through the T cell receptor, somehow the crack channels open, calcium flows in. Now also within the cell there are stores for calcium, and these stores are usually quiet, but once the T cell is triggered through the T cell receptor, these stores open and also release their calcium. So from the outside and from the inside, there is calcium flux, and this calcium flux is not innocent. It does something to the T-cell signaling machinery. Namely, it activates in a stepwise fashion other events which follow each other. And at the end, again, there are certain molecules affected, and these molecules here are called NF-kappa-B and NFAT. And these molecules are proteins which stick to elements of genes which make these genes active. And this happens in the normal case. But when the T-cell, the conventional T-cell, is suppressed by regulatory T-cells, these activating molecules, NF-kappa-B and NFAT, they are not produced and activated in a sufficient amount to drive the expression of genes in T-cells which are responsible for proliferation, that is multiplication, making several T-cells out of a few. And they are then also not active enough or not sufficient in order to drive the expression of the soluble proteins for which you need gene expression, which are called cytokines. And one important cytokine, for example, is interleukin-2, which is made by conventional T cells. This interleukin-2 makes other T cells grow. And when these conventional T cells are suppressed via regulatory T-cells, this interleukin-2 is not made, or is made to a much lesser extent.
In the conventional T-cells that have been suppressed by the regulatory T-cells, does that influx of calcium still occur, and maybe the genes aren't responsive to that influx, or is that influx of calcium prevented in the suppressed T-cells?
Well, okay, compare it with a big hammer and a small hammer. Now, of course, you know, calcium is still flowing to some extent, but this could be compared to a small hammer. But the big hammer, meaning a lot of calcium flux, does not happen. So that is what the regulatory T cells do. So it's not an all or nothing phenomenon. It is a suppression to a certain extent. And that, you know, like always in biology, that comprises quantitative effect. If you don't have enough of something, then at the end, the outcome is less activity. And less activity here means less proliferation and less cytokine secretion. So calcium still flows to some extent, but to a much lesser extent.
Did you look at the mechanism by which the calcium influx is affected in the suppressed T cells?
Yes, that is very much at the discussion at the moment. Some of these channels have just recently been detected and is really very much at the forefront of research, and one doesn't really know how exactly that happens. But we have tried to address some of the molecules which may be involved in this scenario, but there are no definite data on that yet.
Suppression of conventional T cells by regulatory T cells is important in a lot of contexts, particularly in both cancer and in autoimmune disease. Suppression of the conventional T cells can prevent them from recognizing cancer cells. But on the other hand, failure to suppress the conventional T cells can lead to autoimmune disease. Do your findings have any direct implications in either context, in cancer or autoimmunity?
Yes, of course, because at the end, we don't look at isolated conventional T cells. We have to look at the entire immune scenario. And as you correctly say, the immune system has something to do with defense against tumors. And in that respect, you need active T cells. They need to be very active. And if they are kept in check and cannot be as active as one needs them for an anti-tumor response, then that is bad. So in case there is an overshoot of regulatory T cells and too much suppression, then the activity, for example, of conventional T cells against tumors could be suppressed, and that is not good. Now, the opposite happens in autoimmunity. There you have too much T cell activity. In the case the autoimmunity is due to a T-cell defect, too much activity, and in that respect, suppression is very good. Then the regulatory T-cells prevent autoimmunity from occurring. So here again, two situations. One is too much T-cell activity, as in autoimmunity. There, the effect of regulatory T-cells is very positive in the sense that this too much of activity can be suppressed. Now, in a tumor situation, where you have maybe too little activity of conventional T-cells, there the suppression by regulatory T-cells can be bad. So we need means to understand such cells better in order to manipulate them. And for that, we need basic research and more insight into the molecular mechanism. And then, on the basis of that, we can develop tools in order to manipulate regulatory T cells to either stimulate them in autoimmunity or to suppress the suppressor cells in anti-tumor immunity.
Thank you, Dr. Kramer, for speaking with me.
Okay, and thank you.
That was Peter Kramer, senior author of a research article published in the December 20th issue of Science Signaling. That paper by Schmid and colleagues is titled Human Regulatory T-Cells Rapidly Suppress T-Cell Receptor-Induced Signaling in Conventional CD4-Positive T-Cells. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.